All right. So, I mean, this week has just been so cool, and it's been so fun. If you guys hang with me, I'm just going to talk for a little bit. No long, drowned out anything today. Just a little something. And, you know, I was reading the Word and trying to figure out what we could talk about. We've been in the middle of a series called The Practical Atheist, and kind of, you know, we all believe in God, but we kind of act like we don't know Him. We don't believe, like, He's not around. We kind of just think God is great. And that's kind of the things we've been talking about here, and I'm just wanting to go through a couple things with you guys. And the title today is, I Believe in God, But I Don't Know Him. And, you know, I want us to focus maybe for a little bit on that word know. The K-N-O-W. That word know is very interesting. And when we look at that, I think we're going to see a really interesting part of who God is and what He requires of us, not just to believe in Him, but to know Him. And I looked up in Webster's the word know, K-N-O-W, and the first definition is to perceive directly. And I thought, that's probably very true. If we use the word know and how we use it every day, to perceive directly, that's a great definition. But of course, my nerdy brain kept reading down all the to sixth and seventh definitions, but the second one said this, and I was so captivated by it. It said this, to have experience of. And I thought that was phenomenal. I was like, that is really a good definition of the word know, to have experience of. And really, to have experience of, that's when you truly know something. Or know of something, you know? And that's what VBS was all about this week. It was all about us trying to experience God and trying to know God. We had all these lessons on how God is powerful. He never breaks His promises. You heard these guys talk about what they learned, and that's what it was all about. Jesus told us two things. He said, two most important things, tell people who don't know about me, tell them about me. And the second thing He said was, make sure you take care of the needy and the needs around you. And we did that with gathering food for the Plainfield food pantry. So these kids were experiencing God in a new way, and they were trying to know Him. And that's what VBS was all about. And we wanted them not to just come here and believe in God, but we wanted them to believe and know and experience God. And I think they did a great job, because we want them to then eventually hopefully have a relationship with Jesus that will guide them and that will support them throughout their life. And you see, the interesting thing, though, is that a lot of us, including myself, a lot of us believe in God, but we don't really know Him. A lot of us in this room believe in God, but we don't know Him at all. And, okay, is it really important? You know, we've never had an experience of Him. You know, maybe we've never felt Him, we've never trusted Him, and maybe we've never let Him guide our lives, but we believe in Him. And He's just kind of there. He's present. And you're kind of saying right now, Pete, you know, I don't get where you're going with this. You know, I believe in God, but I don't know Him. That's kind of an oxymoron. It doesn't make any sense. And I can understand that. But what I kind of have come to believe after studying this is that there is a difference between just believing and believing and knowing God. And I think they're two different things. And that's kind of what I want to talk about with you guys today. It's kind of like this, if we think about the word know and to have experience of. Let's just say there's this brand new restaurant. I like to eat, in case you can't tell. There's a brand new restaurant that opens up in your neighborhood, and everybody's talking about it. Your neighbors, your friends, your relatives. Everyone's texting you. They're emailing you. They're dropping letters in your mailbox. It's the number one trending topic on Twitter, on Facebook. All your comments are about that. This restaurant, you must go. That's how awesome it is. It's the kind of excitement building around it is like, you all know this right now, when McDonald's brings the McRib back. It's like that type of excitement. You lose your mind, you wait in the queue, the line really long, you drop your plans for lunch, like, we're getting a McRib. That's what we're doing. It's that type of excitement. So what happens is these are all good things. They're all very, very good things. There's excitement there. You believe your friends come, you need to go have a meal there. And so you believe them. And so eventually, though, you believe this is a great restaurant. And so you go, finally, all right, let's get the family, let's load up the car, and let's head on out. So you pack up, you go and you sit down, the hostess greets you, seats you at your seat, you get the menu out, it's this big, and there's that dish that someone was telling you about. That main dish, the specialty of the house. It's supposed to be the thing that will change your life. It's so delicious, and it's the reason you came. So you order it, they bring it out, it's piled high, it's beautifully presented, and then finally you get your knife and your fork, and you eat it, and you go, mmm. pretty good. You eat it, your taste buds come alive, and your brain starts going, I've never tasted anything like this before. It's great, it's wonderful, it's better than I thought. And you've just experienced it. You now know it's good because you've tasted it. And if you look back on that, you know, believing it was good, that was okay. But now you know, and that's a whole different experience. Now you know it's good. And I think those are the difference here, because before you didn't know and you just believed it was good from what everyone had said. But now you know because you experienced it. And you can say that. You now know it's good. But let's just see what the Bible has to say, because I think the Bible could guide us in a little way to see what it really means to actually believe in God and to know Him. So we're going to turn to 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. It's going to be on the screens so you could follow along. I'm reading from the New Living Translation today. So if you'd like to follow along on the screens, I'll be happy to read it out loud. So 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And we can be sure that we know Him if we obey His commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person's a liar and is not living in truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. That is how we know we are living in Him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So if we look at this verse, and what it says, yes, believing in God, it's required. We got to do it. But there's something else. It says we need to know God. Experience God. That's what we need to do. Because here it says to know, it's more than understanding. It's more than belief. It's something more. It's experience. It's being transformed. You know, and since love is involved, in verse 5 it says, but those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. And that's how we know we're living for Him. Love involves personal relationships. And so if there's a personal relationship involved, and it needs to be some kind of personal experience to know someone or to transform you, and that's kind of how it has to be, because a relationship that transforms who you are and your practical behavior, that's what happens when we enter into relationships with people. You're transformed. You're different. And that's kind of where he's going with trying to know God here. So I think that must be involved. And there's a gentleman who exemplified this very well. And his name was Father Vincent Donovan. He's a Catholic priest. You'll see his picture in a minute. He was a Catholic priest who was a missionary. And he went to Africa. And the awesome thing about Father Donovan is there was a tribe in Africa that was not being reached. After many, many attempts and many tries, they were trying to go and tell these people about Jesus and that they want them to know who Jesus is. And Father Donovan noticed there was a problem in how they were approaching their mission. And it's this to the Maasai tribe in right near Tanzania in Africa. And what he decided was, I'm going to take a different approach. I'm going to go and I'm going to live among these people. I'm going to actually earn their respect. I'm going to do the things they do. And I'm just going to want to be a guest there until I finally earn their respect enough so I can present Jesus Christ to them, and so they can have the opportunity to know the living God. Well, in his book, Christianity Rediscovered, he spent 15 years in this place that had never been reached before, from 1958 to 1973. Some didn't accept his message, but the ones who did, this virtually unreachable people, now had an opportunity to know God. And I think he lived out, if we go back to verse 6 of that verse, it says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. And I think that's exactly how Jesus would live his life. You know, Father Donovan wanted these people to know and experience Jesus. And he used relationships and he used trust to do that. And you know, Jesus did the same thing in his time and in his ministry when he was here on earth. He wanted people to be transformed. And after all, you know, Jesus then developed relationships with people. And there's this awesome story in the book of Luke, actually, about a guy named Zacchaeus. Maybe some of you guys heard the story. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he wasn't looked favorably upon in the culture. People didn't like what he was doing, because he would overcharge people and pocket a lot of the money. And Zacchaeus did believe in Jesus. He was like, wow, there's something to this Jesus guy, because Jesus was coming to town one day, and Zacchaeus was losing his mind. He was like, I have to see Jesus. I just have to see him. And he couldn't see through the crowd, so he climbed up a tree. And then Jesus is walking into town, and Jesus kind of spots Zacchaeus, and he goes, "Hey, Zacchaeus!" And Zacchaeus is probably freaking out, like, "Wow, Jesus is pointing at me, looking at me." And Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, I want to come over to your house and get to know you today." So Jesus and Zacchaeus then later have a meeting. He's at Zacchaeus' house. They're discussing. They're probably having dinner. And then Zacchaeus comes out and says this, and it's unbelievable. You know, he says, "I will pay all that I defrauded back four times. Everyone I cheated, I'm going to pay them back four times. And everything else I'm going to give to the poor." Why would he do that? Because he had a relationship with Jesus. He now knew Jesus. He experienced Jesus one-on-one. And Jesus transformed him in a new and awesome way. Before, he just believed in Jesus and wanted to see who he was. But now he actually interacted with him. He had a relationship with him, and it changed who he was. And I think those types of elements are similar in our relationships with each other. And basically better off in a husband or a wife or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, that type of relationship. I mean, you guys know, you all know how that kind of goes, right? You know, you ask somebody out and it's awkward, and then you go on a date and you spill spaghetti on your white shirt, you know. And then, you know, you get a flat tire on the way there. You know, all these things happen, you know. And, you know, spend time together. Then you build trust together and you talk and you have conversation. That's just normal. You build trust. You meet the special people in that other person's world. You start to depend on them. You share information with them. You start to trust them. You're happy together. You guys are sad together. You rejoice together. You get excited at the exciting things together, and you mourn with the mourning things together. You pretty much learn to live with each other and to be dependent on one another. And eventually you begin, out of that development of love for the other person, you start to change. And your life is starting to look different. And things become necessarily the way you never thought they would be before, because for most of you here, I think you remember when that person showed up in your life, that really special, awesome person, whether it's a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, I think you remember when they showed up. And I think you remember what you were like before they showed up, and now what you're like after your experience with them. You now know them. And your experience is totally different. And just how this special relationship you have with this other person, just how that has transformed you. If you look back, that's probably true. And I think that's exactly the same thing that the Bible says about Jesus and what Jesus wants with us. I think it's very similar. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. To be transformed, to experience Him, to know Him, to talk with Him, to rejoice with Him, to get angry with Him, to be sad with Him, and to be happy with Him. All of that, that's what Jesus wants from us. And that's what we were trying to do this week, to experience God in those ways at VBS. And I think that's the whole point of the cross, too. The whole point of the cross was so Jesus could transform us. And so we could have that relationship, that transforming process, that we could finally know Jesus, we could finally know God because of what Jesus did. That's the whole reason the cross exists. It says this in John, the book of John, chapter 10, verses 14 through 15. And I believe this is what Jesus means when he says, "You need to know me. Not just believe, but you need to believe and know me." And this is what it says. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep." Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross so that we could not just believe in him, but so we could have relationship and know him and experience him. And as we close, this is the hard part for me, because I always preach every message to me as well. And many of you, your whole life, many of us have believed in God, and we thought God was awesome, but we've never really known him at all. And I'm speaking to everyone. for all of you guys that are here today, it's so exciting to see so many people here to rejoice and get excited about VBS. Thank you for coming and celebrating with us. But for some of you, this has been your first time back to church in a very, very long time. And that's totally awesome, and we're so glad you're here. And we love you. But you feel maybe you've never had that relationship with Jesus. You've never known Jesus. You've believed in God, but you've never known Jesus. And you're feeling right now in your heart or in your soul or in your stomach, in the pit of yourself, you're feeling something pulling you saying, come on, you're feeling it. And that's the Spirit of God saying, you know, you need to know Jesus and you need to let Him guide you. That's what that feeling is. For some of you, this is hard to say. Some of you, I know your name. And you've been here as long as I have, or you've been here even longer. And you don't know God. And you don't know Jesus. You believe in Him, but you don't know Him. And you're involved in everything here. You've never experienced Him. You've never actually known Him or had that relationship. You've never let Him guide your path. And then some people here, you've known Jesus. You knew Him. But you've long since forgotten. And if any of that is anybody in this week here today, I would be quite remiss if we didn't give you the opportunity to know Jesus today. And to have that opportunity. This week we reflect on VBS and what an awesome experience it was. And how we had the opportunity to know Jesus and be transformed by Him. We saw these young people do that and have a relationship with Him is what we were desiring for them. And that's available for all of us today. Whether you've never been to church in your life, you haven't been in a while, you've been here forever, but you've just never known God. That's available for you today. Because that's what the Word says. We need to believe, but we also need to know God, to experience God, to just like Zacchaeus, have Him transform us and then guide us to do the things He would have us do. As we close, I'm just going to challenge us today. Let's stop the pretending. We're all a family here, whether you've been here the first time or you've been here for 20 years. We're all family and friends today. And we're going to have a big party afterwards. And what I want to tell you today, and I believe what God wants to tell us today, is that it's great that you believe in Jesus. But there's so much more. And not just believing in Him, but knowing Him. So let's try to strive after that. We're going to sing a song, and it says something quite simple. And it says, what can I say? What can I do but offer my heart completely? And I think that really explains relationships with each other and with that husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. We give our heart to them. And Jesus is asking for the same here. For our hearts to be given to Him, because when you meet that other person, your life is transformed. It's never the same. It's different. You do different things. You are totally on a mission because you love that other person, and Jesus is asking the same thing of us. He's asking us, and that tug inside your heart, it says, what you're feeling inside, some of you, is just, I need to know Jesus. I've never experienced Him, and I've never known Him, and I'm tired of just believing in Him. I want to know Him. I want Him to guide me. I want that for my life because I can't resist this feeling anymore. So my challenge to you is as we sing this song, ignore the people around you. I want you to just focus on the words and worship the Lord today. Because it's just you and Him. And I really would like you to consider surrendering your life to Jesus and asking Him to lead you, to guide you, and wanting to know Him. Because He really wants to know you.